Well, let's just pray and commit this time to the Lord. Father, we want to thank you for your presence with us this morning. And we want to look to you now as we come to your word. We want to thank you for your word. Lord, it means everything to us. And we want to bless you for it. We thank you for the way that you encourage us through your word. That you correct us. You train us under righteousness. Lord, we want to thank you for all the many ways you've used your word in our lives in the past. We want to come afresh to you this morning. Lord, recognizing our need to hear from heaven. Lord, we don't need to hear from me or anybody else. We need to hear what you are saying to us. So, Father, would you open our ears now, we pray, and anoint both the tongue of the speaker and the ears of the listeners, we pray. Amen. Well, let's just read Genesis chapter 16, verses probably 1 to 14. Now, Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. So Sarah said to Abraham, "Now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I will obtain children through her." And Abraham listened to the voice of Sarah. And I'm not going to speak this morning on listening to the voice of our wives. It's a very dangerous thing, friends. That's not my message this morning. Although I'm sure there's a sermon in there for another time. After Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Abram's wife Sarah took Hagar the Egyptian, her maid, and gave her to her husband Abram as his wife. He went into Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her sight. And Sarah said to Abram, "May the wrong done me be upon you. I gave my maid into your arms, but when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her sight. May the Lord judge between you and me." But Abraham said to Sarah, "Behold, your maid is in your power. Do to her what is good in your sight." So Sarah treated her harshly, and she fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her by the spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. He said, "Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from, and where are you going?" And she said, "I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarah." Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority." Moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, "I will greatly multiply your descendants so that they will be too many to count." The angel of the Lord said to her further, "Behold, you are with child and you will bear a son. And you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has given heed to your affliction. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him, and he will live to the east of all his brothers." Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are a God who sees." For she said, "Have I even remained alive after seeing him?" Therefore the well was called Beer Lahai-Roi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. Well, I want to speak this morning on something of this story about Hagar and what happened to her, and perhaps apply something of what she had to learn to our own lives as well. But I'm sure most of us have been in something of the situation that Hagar found herself in. She was in a place where it was difficult. Sarah had given her to Abraham. She had no say in the matter. She couldn't change the circumstances. She had to go along with it. And she became the wife of Abraham. And she became pregnant. And she was then treated very harshly by her mistress. And I'm sure many of us have found ourselves in a situation where we find we're in a difficult place and we can't change it. And there's a desire in our hearts to get away, to run away from that place that we find ourselves in. It may be in the workplace. It may just be a difficult place we find ourselves in, at home, with other people around us. You name it. It may be nothing to do with people. It may be maybe circumstances that we find are mitigating against us. And we feel like we want to just get away from everything. Throw the towel in even. And flee to get away. And of course, we can be forgiven for doing that. And it's amazing the way the Lord dealt with Hagar in the midst of all this. And we'll look at something of that in a second. But the first thing to say is, let's be careful not to react with our emotions when we find ourselves in a place like that. It's so easy to do, isn't it? When things get on top of us. And we can react with emotion. And we can just up sticks and get out of it. Even if we don't do it physically, our hearts can sort of turn away from something. And we can run away in our hearts from a situation we should be facing up to. And we must be careful not to do that. Difficult problems, difficult things that we face are not a sign that we are to run away. Because in the midst of all those, God may be seeking to do something. And I want to look at one or two of those things now. In fact, first of all, just to look at that word harsh, in verse 6. She was treated harshly. That word means to afflict. Also means to humble or to weaken oneself. And there's a sense that in some of these situations we may find ourselves in. Incidentally, if you're not in a place like that this morning, don't switch off. I guarantee you'll come into one of those places in the future. It's part of the Christian walk place. God puts us into these places for our own good. And if you're not in that place now, don't switch off, because you will find yourself one day in a place where you have to deal with these things. So that word harshly means to afflict. It can mean to humble, to weaken oneself. And as I said, it's not a sign that we need to run away from it. But emotionally, we can react, can't we, like Hagar, and we can try and get away from the place that we're in. And Hagar did that. And I just think it's marvellous the way the Lord dealt with her. It says, and now the angel of the Lord, verse 7, found her by the spring of water. The angel of the Lord is the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus. It's the Lord Jesus himself that goes out looking for Hagar. Isn't that marvellous? He found her because he was looking for her. I think that's wonderful. You know, the Lord realized that she was just dust. And this was an emotional response that he could understand. He didn't want her to run away. And we can see that in a second. And, you know, the Lord sees that we're but dust. He sees we are weak. He sees that, you know, we can give way to problems sometimes. But he is gentle the way that he deals with us. And he comes to her. And he's looking for her. And he finds her. And how many times has the Lord found us when we've sort of run away from a situation? Or we can't face something. The Lord has found us with his word in particular. That's why I encourage each one of us to be in God's word daily. Because it's through the word God often speaks to our heart. He meets us. He finds us with his word. So that we can face the problems that we're in. We can face the situation that we're in. And we can be an overcomer rather than being overcome. So friends, I encourage you, get into God's word. And of course there's that sense from Psalm 139, there is nowhere that we can run from God anyway. You know, God's always going to be there. And he was looking for Hagar and he found her. And he then, amazingly, it's wonderful the way the Lord deals with her then. He didn't just dive in and say, get back to Sarah and submit to her. He could have said that, of course, but he didn't. Isn't it marvellous? The first thing the Lord says, where have you come from and where are you going? Where have you come from and where are you going? Now the Lord knew exactly where she came from and exactly where she was going. We'll say a bit more about that in a second. The Lord knew that, but you know, he wanted her to consider it. He wanted her just to consider where she was going, coming from to start with. And that's always a good thing to do, friends, isn't it? To try and just stop and consider. It was what the Lord charged the people in Haggai's time. Just consider. You've planted so many crops. You've planted all these things and you've had little yield from it. And we can be so stupid sometimes, can't we? I know I speak for myself here. And we don't consider. And just consider before the Lord the results or what we see around us. And even the consequences of the actions we're embarking upon. But we do need to consider. And the Lord wanted Hagar to consider what she was running from. He didn't dive in and give her advice and say, this is what you should be doing. He just wanted her to consider. And you know, there's a sense that Hagar said straight away, when I'm running, I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarah. But the Lord wanted to consider more than that. It wasn't just running away from this difficult situation. It was running away from where God was. God was with Abraham. God was at work in the family of Abraham. God was fulfilling his promise to Abraham. This is a place of promise, a place of where God's purposes were being worked out. And if we flee from difficult situations and we don't want to face them and we'd rather leave them to the side and not deal with them, then so often the purposes of God can't be furthered in our lives. You see, God had purposes for Hagar as well as Abraham and Sarah in this situation. And God wanted her to consider just what she was running from. It wasn't just running from that difficult situation she found herself in. It was running from the presence of God. It was running from the provision of God. This was a place where everything was provided for her in that home. And we need to remember that when we embark on any sort of running away from a place or a situation. Am I actually leaving things I shouldn't be leaving? Is God at work there? Is God doing something in my life there that I need to remain in that place? Of course, there's a time to go and run and flee. And we'll come to that at the end, because Hagar did eventually leave the home of Abraham. But that was nothing to do with her emotions leading her. It was God decreeing it. We'll come to that later. So the first thing God wanted to consider was, where are you running from? It's a good question to ask ourselves, isn't it? Whenever we embark on a change of direction, what are we running from, or where are we running from? And of course, at times it is right to leave. But in this case, she was leaving the purposes of God and the promises of God, and where God was providing for her. And the second question is, where are you going to? Where are you going to? That's a good question, wasn't it? I doubt if she'd given much thought to that. She was just up sticks and get out of there as quickly as possible, because it was a difficult place and she just wanted to get out of there. And it's interesting where she was running to. She was on the way to Shur. And that word in the Hebrew means war. It's interesting, isn't it? She's on the way to a war. She's going to a dead end. There was no prospects for her on that road. As soon as we leave the purposes of God, the presence of God, something of what He is purposing for us in our life, even if it's difficult, we are really heading for a dead end. There's no life there for a start. There's no prospects. There's nothing of what God has for us. His purposes certainly won't be fulfilled. But this is what Hagar had to consider. And the Lord so gently dealt with her. Just stop there and think. Where are you going from? Where are you running from? And where are you going to? Although the Lord obviously knew the answer, He wanted her to consider that. And friends, it's always good to consider these things before the Lord, of course. Well, moving on. I suppose this is what I mainly want to speak on this morning, is what He then says to Hagar in verse 9. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority." That was the advice that she probably didn't want to hear. Return and submit to her authority. Really, it was submitting to the authority of God, because God had put Sarah over her. And it was really submitting to what God was doing in her life. It was submitting to the situation that God had put her in. And we have to do that. We have to learn to do that, don't we, friends? We have to learn to submit. Submission is a good place to be before the Lord. It's not that we need to be walked all over, of course, but we need to submit to what God wants to do, the place that He puts us, even if it's difficult, even if it's painful. We need to learn to submit to that, because there's so much that comes out of that submission. In fact, I would say there's no better place to be than be in submission to what God is doing. And to me, that's to Him, obviously. Well, that word submit, I want to look at that in a second, but it means in the Hebrew humbling. And obviously the implications there are of listening, obeying, cooperation. And of course, as believers, there are many things the Lord calls us to submit to. We're called to submit to those over us in authority in our workplace. There's that sense of submission in the family, that order that He's put there. Even in the church of God, there's always places we find ourselves that where we need to submit. And there's a part of us that always wants to kick against that, isn't there? There's part of that old man that doesn't want to submit. I want to do things my way. We'll have a look at obstructions to that in a second. But God wants us to be those that are submitted people. And isn't it interestingly, the word in the Greek in the New Testament, there's several passages we could look at. Colossians 2 is one where this comes up several times. But the word also used in the Greek is to be subjected to. And that comes out of a military term, a Greek military term. But the non-military term means a voluntary attitude of giving in, of cooperating. And that's what the Lord is looking for, a submission of our wills to His purpose, to what He is doing. And that's one of the hardest things we find, isn't it? To submit our wills to what God is doing, to what God wants up for us. We find it so hard to do. But you know, that's the only way for him to accomplish his purposes in our lives, if we will submit to him and to what he's doing. If we will do that, God is able to do so much. And we'll have a look in a moment at some of the benefits, some of the things that result when we do submit to the Lord, and submit to him, particularly in difficult things that God has put us under and put us into and will put us into in the future. Undoubtedly, he will put us into them. And we need to learn to submit to his purpose in that. Just one or two things about barriers to submission, because it's something we need to get over, because we so easily will try and not submit. We will do anything but submit sometimes to the Lord and to his purposes. And there are various things that can sort of get in the way. Pride is one, of course. The self-life, wanting to do things my way. But there's one thing I want to emphasize this morning. And I want to look at a couple of verses. Deuteronomy 10, first of all, verse 16. Where God is speaking to the people of Israel. So circumcise your heart and stiffen your neck no longer. And then perhaps in Jeremiah 5 as well. You can either just listen to this or turn to this. Jeremiah 5 verse 23. But this people has a stubborn and rebellious heart, and they have turned aside and departed. Again, there's that turning aside and departing, slightly different context, of course. But the root of it was a stubbornness, an unwillingness to yield to what the Lord was doing and wanting for their lives. And interestingly, that word stubborn is tied with rebellious there. In fact, there's several Hebrew words that are used. One of them could mean rebellion or stubbornness. It means either. And the two are closely linked, aren't they? When our hearts are stubborn and unyielding, then so often we're in rebellion to God. We wanted to do things our way. And rebellion isn't something perhaps that may be there with us now, but we've always got to watch out for this. It's something that can easily come upon us. And again, to look at that, Nehemiah 9 brings that out. Let me just read this to you. Nehemiah 9 verse 16 and 17. But they, our fathers, acted arrogantly. They became stubborn. So it wasn't as if they started off stubbornly, but they became stubborn because they were arrogant. They became stubborn and would not listen to your command. They refused to listen and did not remember your wondrous deeds. It's a bit like Pharaoh in Egypt, isn't it? He hardened his own heart to start with. He refused to listen to what God was doing. And at the root of stubbornness is an unwillingness to listen to what God is saying. And when we refuse to listen, when there's pride in our hearts and we'd rather do it our own way, we quickly become stiff-necked. Our hearts are hardened, we become stubborn. And we need to watch out for that, because it can easily get a grip of any one of us, myself included. We're all vulnerable to this. It's part of that old man that wants to rear its head and resurrect itself. And sort of rule our lives. But we need to watch out for that, because it is something that we can easily succumb to. It's there, in a sense, latent in the heart of each one of us. It's a condition in our heart that the Lord has dealt with at Calvary, but we need to reckon it so, because it can so easily rise up and we can be caught unaware. So let's watch our hearts, that we're not stubborn, that we're not rebellious of heart, that we're not refusing to listen to what God is saying and submit to what he is doing and wanting to do in our lives. In fact, there's a very sobering verse in Proverbs 29, which talks of a man who, after many rebukes, let me just read this to get it right. A man who hardened his neck, or hardens his neck after much reproof, will suddenly be broken beyond remedy. That's a very sobering verse, isn't it? A man who hardens his neck after much reproof will suddenly be broken beyond remedy. So a man who's stubborn, who becomes stubborn, who stiffens his neck after much reproof. Isn't it marvelous? The Lord will bring reproof to us, but we need to respond to that. He will bring correction to us, but we need to listen to that. If we refuse correction, if we refuse reproof, then that leads to a hardening, a greater stiffening of our neck and a stubbornness. and all sorts of problems. So let's take heed, let's watch out for those things that cause us not to submit, but in fact to be stubborn and rebel. But I want to look at now some of the wonderful things that can result when we do submit to the Lord, because the Lord isn't sort of in the game of putting us in the place of difficulty for the sake of it, because he likes to see us suffer. The Lord's not like that. He doesn't enjoy seeing us go through difficult times for the sake. He does it for very, very real purposes. God has amazing purposes for each one of us, but as an assembly as well. Even if the assembly finds difficult problems to overcome and finds itself in a difficult place, God always intends good out of it. And he's able to bring good out of it. Well, let's look at one or two things perhaps Hagar learned from this, and that God would teach us as well if we are in a place such as Hagar finds herself, or if we find ourselves in the future. Well, the first thing I want to say is that Hagar learned to depend upon the Lord. I'm sure of that. Because when you're in a place where you can't change the circumstances, when you're in a place when it's humanly impossible and you have no power yourself to change anything, what are you going to do? Yes, you can either run away, or you can stay there and you can commit yourself fully to the Lord and you can depend upon him. So the one thing it will bring about is a total dependence upon the Lord. You will cast yourself upon him. Think of some of our Christian brothers in some of the other lands where they are so in such desperate positions. Some in prison, some in communities where it's so, so difficult. And they can't change the situation they find themselves in. You know, as much as we want them to be out of that place, what things God can do in that place? But you know, we haven't got to be in such a persecuted place to know this. We can be in our own places, in our own lives, where we can be in a position we can't change circumstances. But in that place, God would have us depend upon him and look to him and call upon him. And as we do that, we will learn more of him. You see, when we're in that place of submission, it's a good learning place, friends. It's a place of learning to depend upon the Lord for everything. For his provision. For his protection. When things are dangerous, the Lord's able to watch over us where we can't do it ourselves. And the Lord wants to do that, of course. So it's a place of submission is a place where Hagar learned to depend upon the Lord, where we can learn to depend more upon God. It's a place where God was at as well. But the wonderful thing, the testimony of the saints down the ages, when they're in a difficult spot, when they're in a place of affliction, there's a sense that God is nearer than ever. God is close. And if we want to know something more of the nearness of the Lord in our lives, when we come to these positions, these places that are difficult, we can't run from them. We've got to stay when God wants us to stay in them, and we've got to know something more of his presence. God will draw near. He will draw near and he will give enabling, he will give strength. He will give everything that we need in that place. I believe that Hagar knew that as well. Because she had to spend another 13 years at least in this place that God took her back to. And it's a place as well where we can prove God for who he is. We can prove God for who he is. Isn't it marvelous the way God speaks to Hagar after this? Let's just go back and read that from verse 11. The angel of the Lord said to her further, "Behold, you are with child, and you will bear a son, and you will call his name Ishmael." And that word Ishmael means God hears. God hears. Isn't that wonderful? When you are crying out to the Lord, God is hearing. He's listening to you. God is giving heed to your cry. Don't think, friends, that he's turned a deaf ear. If you are in the purposes of God, you're in that difficult place, and things are not going very well for you, if you're calling upon the Lord is listening. The Lord is giving ear to you. And this is what the Lord wanted her to know. Isn't that marvellous? The Lord gave this son the name. Because he was ever going to be a living testimony to Hagar that her God was the God who hears. That she could always call upon the God of Abraham, because he would listen. That was the testimony that was there before Hagar for the rest of her life. Her son was the son who had a name given by God that said, "I am listening." What a marvellous testimony to have there in the family. And I hope That's something of our testimony as well, that we know we have a God who hears, friends. I'm sure that is. And we've called upon him, we know that he's heard, and he's done something about the situation. In the case of Hagar, she had to go back and submit to that. There was no real change in a sense. But I'm sure the Lord gave her all the provision that she needed in that difficult place. The Lord didn't come and just change everything and take Sarah out of the way and remove all the difficulties, as much as we would love to have that done sometimes. God doesn't do it necessarily straight away. And so she had this amazing testimony before all the days of her life. There was her son. The Lord hears. I am listening. I am giving heed to your cry. So we can prove God, and I'm sure Hagar proved that that was true in her life in the days ahead. So when we stay in that place of submission, friends, when we remain in the place God has put us, we will learn more of God. We will know more of him. We will grow in our knowledge of God. We'll prove him for who he is. And then she goes on to say, verse 13, you are a God who sees. God hadn't missed a thing. God has seen every difficulty that she'd gone through. Friend, I want to say to you this morning, every difficulty you will face in your life, none of it escapes God. Not one bit of it will escape him. He sees it all. He takes note of it. He did that for his people in Egypt, of course. He took note of their tremendous difficulty. He had compassion. And God determined to act at the right time. You see, God knows what the limit is and when he should be moving, when he should be acting. We don't. We just need to entrust ourselves to him. But God takes note. God sees. He saw that it was a hard place. He saw that, in a sense, that he could understand why she had run from that place. But she had to go back and submit, because God had things he wanted to do in her life, things that he wanted to do and complete in her life. Well, fourthly, what else was God going to do in this place of submission? I think it's very instructive that God kept Ishmael and Hagar in this place for another 13 or more years, just over. And it was about 12, 13 years later that God gave to Abraham the covenant of circumcision. It was a place, I want to say, it's very instructive. To me it speaks that God was wanting to do something deep in Hagar. And when we're in a place of submission, when we're in a difficult place, it's almost like being in a place of circumcision where God is wanting to cut things away from our lives. Things that are so deep rooted that we maybe haven't seen yet. God sees, and he wants to deal with it. Friends, there are things in our lives that God sees that you and I may not have seen yet. Or perhaps glimpsed, but God sees how ugly they are. Attitudes of our heart. Things that are deep rooted that need to come out. And God is able to do that. He is able to refine us. He's able to cut away that circumcision of the heart it talks of in Romans. I read it as well in Deuteronomy. It talks in Romans 2:29, circumcision, true circumcision, the circumcision of the heart. By the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is wanting to deal with us in such a way where things that are in us that need to be got out of us can only be done when we submit in the place that God has put us. When we kick against that, if we run away from that, then God will have to leave us to our own devices often. And the things that he's wanting to do in us, he can't do. You see, God isn't going to force us to come into the place that he wants us to. We have to cooperate with him. And that word submission has to do with cooperation. It's all to do with cooperating with the Lord. If we will cooperate with him, if we will agree with him, if we will go his way, then God will do the things that nobody else can do. He will take out of our lives things that nobody else can take out. You can't deal with your heart. You can't get things out of your system, so to speak, that have been there for years and years and years. You can't do it, friends. But God can. The Spirit of God is able to do that as we submit to him, as we allow him to deal with us in the difficult place. And I believe that Hagar had to learn something of that, and we need to learn it as well. That's why the Lord puts us in difficult places so often. Not because he enjoys doing it, but because he has a greater purpose. He sees far more than we see. He sees the future. He sees what he's preparing us for, whether this life and beyond as well. preparing us for eternity. Our God has a far bigger vision than you and I have, friends. We see only the immediate, which is what Hagar saw. She saw only the immediate. This is why she up sticks and got out of there. We need to be careful not to do that. Let's submit to the Lord, to all that he's put over us, so that we can come into the things that he has for us. So that circumcision of the heart, that cutting away of things that still need to be dealt with, can be dealt with. Those deep-rooted things that are still there in all of us need to be gone out of us. And the Lord's well able to do it, but he needs our cooperation. Now, the question is, of course, will we cooperate? Because so often we don't want to. I know myself, I don't want to cooperate. I'd rather go my own way. But of course, that limits God so tremendously. Well, one more thing about the consequences of being in that place of submission. Back to verse 10. Moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, I will greatly multiply your descendants so that they will be too many to count. What a wonderful promise to Ishmael and Hagar. Now, if you and I had been in God's position, having insight into the future, as God does, and seeing what has come out of the problem between Ishmael and the Arabs and the Jews and all the problems, we would have said, you ain't having any descendants. We're not giving you any. You're not going to have any children. Because we would have seen the problems, and that's how we would have reacted. But God sees again the far bigger picture. All the difficulties that there's been between Jew and Arab. But God has purposes in it all, and his ways are perfect. And there's a tremendous fruitfulness in the place of submission. That's my last point, really. There's a tremendous fruitfulness in the place of submission. If we will submit to the Lord wherever he puts us, be it difficult or easy, but particularly in the difficult place, God will bring fruit out of your lives. It will be fruit unto God. It will be fruit that will glorify him. Because nobody else could do it. He will work things into your life that only he can do. And it will be seen as such. Because those around you who know you will know that you have not got it in yourself to produce that. He will work it into you, friends. He will produce a fruitfulness that will so glorify him. And will be to his praise and to his glory. He will form his character in you. He will give you a future. Well, friends, that's the God we have. Who but our God could do such a thing in such a difficult place for Hagar? In a difficult place for you, now or in the future? Don't get taken up by the difficult circumstances, the difficult place you're in. Recognize that God has purposes far bigger than you could ever imagine. He wants to do things in your life that will be so to his glory and his praise. Isn't that marvellous? Well, I just want to finish with one more thing. Because if you go forward to a few chapters to Genesis 21. You see, there was going to be a time when Hagar would leave. So I'm not saying that if you're in a difficult place, you're going to be there for the rest of your life, and that the Lord wants to keep you there forever. No, there'll come a time where God will take you out of a place, perhaps, and put you in somewhere else. And this is what happened to Hagar. There came a time when God would move it. But it was the Lord that did it. Let's look at this from verse 12. But God said, that's just from verse 9. Now Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, mocking. Therefore she said to Abraham, drive out this maid and her son, for the son of this maid shall not be an heir with my son either. The shoe's on the other foot now, isn't it? We reap what we sow, friends, don't we? And Sarah was perhaps reaping what she'd sown. Therefore she said to Abraham, drive out this maid and her son, for the son of this maid shall not be an heir with my son Isaac. The matter distressed Abraham greatly because of his son. He didn't want this son to leave. He wanted him to stay there. This was his flesh and blood, albeit through Hagar. And this is what God said. But God said to Abraham. But God said. You see, friends, we need to listen to the Lord. And Abraham, praise God, listen to the Lord. Do not be distressed because of the lad and your maid. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her. So husbands, there may come a time Well, we have to listen to our wives, if the Lord says. But God said to Abraham, do not be distressed. Listen, whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her, for through Isaac your descendant shall be named. And of the son of the maid I will make a nation also, because he is your descendant. What a God we have, that he should do this for Ishmael. What a God we have. So Abraham rose early in the morning, took bread and a skin of water, gave them to Hagar and the son, and just let them go. In fact, he just completely entrusted them into God's hand. He didn't sort of arrange for a house in the next village, or for a relative to take them in another town, as we would do. He just gave them the necessary requirements to survive for a few days and push them into the wilderness. But it might speak of something rather harsh, but I think it speaks of Abraham who had absolute confidence in what God had said. God had said something, and Abraham could only do what he could do, give them what he could give, set them on their way, and completely trust them to God. And that's what he did. But the thing is, Hagar did not instigate this. It was not her reacting with her emotions or trying to work things out intellectually. Let's just work out where the best place is for me to be. If I move down there, then yes, I can get a wife. She didn't think anything of that. It wasn't a sort of intellectual debate that tried to work out what was best, as we can do sometimes. Yes, there needs to be a considering of things before the Lord, but we need to know it is God moving us. And Hagar had no say in this. God was moving her on. And God does move us on. He moved her out of this place. But he did it, friends. And he did it in a perfect way, because it wonderfully it says, amazingly, at the end of this chapter 21, God was with the lad. In fact, God had opened her eyes, first of all, to see things that she needed to see, the provision of God. But then verse 20, God was with the lad, and he grew, and he lived in the wilderness, and so on. God was with the lad. Isn't that marvellous? So God had his hand on things, and that only happened because Hagar went back and submitted to what God was doing. And we need to do that, friends. However hard we may find the place we're in today or tomorrow or the future, whenever it is, if God has wanted us to stay in a place, we need to stay there. Submit to him, submit to what he's doing, submit to the situation, put our trust fully in him, look to him and allow him to do his work and cooperate with him. Because when we cooperate with God, God can do so much. We need to do that, friends. Well, let's pray. Father, we do want to thank you that Hagar did go back and submit and learned more of you. Father, we want to be a submitted people. First of all, we want to submit to the authority of our God, to the headship of the Lord. We want to submit to you as an assembly, but individually we want to submit to you and everything you put us into. Lord, whether that's today or tomorrow, Father, help us not to be those that run away and flee those difficulties and want nothing to do with them. Would you give us all the grace we need to overcome, all the grace we need to trust you,